Ladies and gentlemen, children of all ages, gather around the radio. It's time for another installment of A Touch of Grey, the talk show for grown-ups. My name is Michael Harrison. It's my privilege to serve as anchor of the program. It's an ensemble show with lots of great people involved. The star of us, the host of the program, its founder and guiding light, is Carol Marx. Carol Marx is one of America's leading experts on upper demographic issues, and she's a champion in the battle against ageism. Let's kick the program off right now with Carol Marx in conversation with Christina Ferrari. She's a former fashion model, actress, author, and TV talk show host. She's the co-host of the Hallmark Channel's Home and Family show, and she's going to talk to Carol now about the upcoming second season. The show was nominated for a Daytime Emmy for Outstanding Lifestyle Program.
When did you first realize you would make a good communicator and that you could be a talk show host?
Well, I didn't really realize. I mean, that was something that I never, ever, ever thought about. But when, at the time, I wrote a book, my first love is writing. And if you ask me what I want to be when I grow up, it would be a writer, because that's what I love. And I was sidetracked, but I wrote a book, and I went to do the tour for the book, but at that time I was embroiled in this huge scandal with my ex-husband John DeLorean, and I ended up on a show, on the Phil Donahue show. And it was on that show when I was promoting the book and also talking about what was going on in my life with John, the president of the Los Angeles broadcast station here in LA saw me and thought I would make, I don't know what he saw in me, but he said, I think you would be perfect as a morning co-host with Steve Edwards. They were replacing someone, his partner at that time. And would I be interested? And I was interested only because at that time I was separated from my husband and I had to find a way to bring income in and, you know, support my kids and put them in school. And I took this job, but it ended up being one of the best things I could have imagined. I just was drawn to it like a moth to a flame, and I took to it immediately. And I love working with a live audience. We had a live audience at the time. I loved the feeling. I loved communicating. And I found out that I was pretty good at it. And so it was something that I just stayed with all of my life. And I've had the good fortune to, I was on Good Morning America co-hosting with Charlie Gibson. I co-hosted with Regis Philbin. I've had, you know, I had Steve Edwards. I'm now working with Mark Steinis, who for 17 years was over at Entertainment Tonight with Mary Hart. Now we're together. And I have to tell you, it's just been a great, great ride.
There are a lot of talk shows on in the morning. So what makes yours different from the others? Can you tell us a little bit about the format?
Yes. Well, it certainly is different from all the other shows, because all the other talk shows you go to a set and you are, it's just very, you know, you go to the set, you do your segment, you leave. And here at Home and Family, we are on the lot at Universal Studios. Universal built us a real house. This is not a set. It is a functioning house with a garage, a laundry room, kitchen, a family room, bedroom, bathroom. Everything that's in a real home is at our home. Anything that breaks in the house, we will fix it. HGTV. Meets Martha Stewart, meets, you know, Home Improvement. It's everything you can imagine that would go on in your real life home. And we deal with it. We have guests that come on to promote their books. We have issues like this month is a National Breast Cancer Awareness Month. So we've had, you know, Dr. Christy Funk, who's been on, who was Angelina Jolie's surgeon. We've spoken about the importance of, you know, early detection. We have health issues. We have people come on to promote their books, their movies. And also we have a lot of DIY projects and, of course, cooking and crafting, which seems to be so, so popular with our show. And then we have the tram that comes, our Universal Tram Studio. We are part of the tour. People come by every day on the tram, and they see us working. We wave. It's you know, we grow our own vegetables.
Wow.
It's just wonderful.
It's
being here all day long.
In a different setting. And with your expertise in cooking, That is got to be featured on the show, I'm sure.
Every day. Every single day. And we also have great chefs that come on. We've had Curtis Stone and Kat Kuro, who is the first female Iron Chef, and just from Fabio Viviani, who it was on Top Chef. We have people, we are now associated with Taste of Home magazine, which is a magazine that is extremely popular across the country because their recipes that you can get from you or me or your mom or your sister or your brother, and they send it into the magazine, they test it, and you can end up in their magazine. So it's recipes from across the country. We are associated with that magazine. We feature it. We feature once a week somebody, a recipe that we pick, and we call them, and we're very interactive. We're very interactive with our audience and with, you know, everybody who works here on our set.
Now, Christina.
On our home. I should say home, not
home,
a set.
Yes. Christina, you also are very much into crafts. So I want to ask you, when did you develop your interest in cooking and crafts?
Well, cooking was something I did since I can remember being able to walk. I was always in the kitchen with my grandmother and my mom. I come from a very close-knit Italian family, and our whole family, our whole life revolved around the kitchen and food and feeding people. So that started very young, and, you know, it's something I always did. My mom was very creative, and, you know, my love of, you know, crafting and doing things and making things has been something I have been doing since I was a kid.
Wow. You do so many things, and you have survived so much to go on and be so successful. So I just wanted to ask you, how did you survive your first marriage with John, who created
DeLorean, yeah,
fantastic car? Did that, because I think we always learn something from things that happen to us that we don't like, but actually we learn a good lesson. So what did you learn that's helped you now in your work on the Hallmark Channel's Home and Family and your new, you know, well, I guess it's not new anymore, but your second marriage?
Yeah, well, my second marriage is 30 years, so you're right, it's not new. It's been 30 wonderful years and two great children, but I learned to accept. I learned at that time when I was going through that really difficult time with John, I'm a very spiritual person, so I prayed a lot. I mean, a lot. And I turned to, you know, my family. I come from, like I said, an extremely close Italian family. My mom, my dad, my sister, brother. You know, I had them to lean on. I've always had a positive attitude about everything, and in the midst of the worst time that happened, I just remembered to be grateful for what I did have, for the health of my children. I said, you know, my kids are alive and healthy. They're not sick. We're not sick. We just have to, you know, pull up our bootstraps and go from there. And I just always knew instinctively, even as a child, that things happen for a reason. There's always a lesson that's involved in it. You can't see it at the time. And I always kept a very positive attitude. It was difficult at times. But I also realized, and I know this is for sure now that I'm my age and I know and I've experienced, is that nothing ever stays the same. It changes. And so you have to go through, you know, you go through, life is secular. You go through good times and you go through bad times. It determines who you are as a person. And if you're still standing at when you're going through the bad times, and how you get through it, it builds your character.
And I
so
think
that's how I did it.
Yeah, and if you said we always have change, so we have to be adaptable, and you certainly are that. And not only are you adaptable, but you manage to stay so attractive and so upbeat. So what's your secret for looking so beautiful at your, you know, as you're getting
well,
older?
Thank you.
What's your secret?
You know, I have the I eat well. I eat healthy. Of course, I eat bad stuff too, but I eat very healthy. I do exercise 2-3 times a week. I take, you know, vitamins. You get to a certain age, you need to, you know, you have to worry about, you know, your body and osteoporosis and, you know, your nails and your hair, and the exercising, weight-bearing exercise helps at all. I'm not a fanatic. I do it 3 or 4 times a week. I do take my vitamins. I make sure every year to have my mammogram and get everything that I need to do as a woman to keep myself healthy. I take vitamins. I love my husband. I think that helps because we have I have a great, great partner to help me through life. I laugh a lot. I embrace
change.
That's
so important.
You know, so all those things I think help. And then, I have great kids and I think I'm extremely grateful. And the most important part is that I have learned also to forgive. And once I learned to forgive, like, people that have disappointed me or things that haven't happened in my life that didn't turn out quite the way I wanted it to, I've learned to just forgive and just move on. And there's, you know, you can't control what you can't control. So rather than hanging on to it and making me, you know, I always feel like I'm rotting from the inside when I carry around negativity, I don't do that.
That's Christina Ferrari in conversation with Carol Marks. She's co-host of the Hallmark Channel's Home and Family Show. Check local listings for showtimes in your area. Carol Marks will be back with more conversation when A Touch of Gray, the talk show for grown-ups, continues in a moment.
Hello?
Louise, it's Ralph. Listen, would you go out with me tomorrow?
At 8? Ralph, I'd love to.
I have an appointment with my orthopedic surgeon, and I really want you to come along.
A doctor's office? That's so special. Oh, I just remembered I have to delete some emails.
Come on, Louise. We're going to talk about the pain in my hip, and I could use a little support.
I guess I'm not very hip.
You could take notes and help me remember stuff. Look, I have all my doctor questions written down, but there's so much to remember. I need you there with me so I don't miss anything.
Couldn't we just play miniature golf?
Louise, I'm not asking for a kidney.
Bringing someone to your appointment is a good way to make sure you and your physician are on the same page. The idea is to partner with your doctor and share information so you can make informed decisions together. For more on patient-doctor communications, visit orthoinfo.org, a message from the American Academy of Orthopedic Surgeons, where patient-centered care means getting better together.
Continuing now with A Touch of Gray, the talk show for grown-ups. I'm Michael Harrison in the anchor seat, and here again is the host of the program, Carol Marks, in conversation now with Ross Blair. He is the Senior Vice President of eHealthMedicare.com. Their mission is to provide educational and comparison tools for Medicare insurance products that allow customers to compare prices and benefits of Medicare insurance products side by side. He's going to talk to Carol about Medicare Open Enrollment, which takes place between October 15th and December 7th.
Before we get to the key questions older Americans are asking about Medicare and its benefits, can you briefly tell our listeners about the mission of eHealth Medicare?
Sure. eHealth Medicare runs the largest online comparison site available out there. We have rates and benefits for every single Medicare Advantage prescription drug plan and Medicare supplement plan on the market in an easy-to-use format for people to do their annual checkup. So we look for seniors to use our site to enter their drugs and find the plan that's going to give them the absolute lowest annual cost each year, and are happy to help seniors save, so far, billions of dollars in annual premiums and copays.
Now, do people want to know if they've already got a Medicare plan, why they should review it during Medicare's annual open enrollment period, which is, you know, starting on October 15th and ending January 7th, 2014? What happens to those people who don't look at the plan they already have to see if they're happy with all parts of it?
Well, it turns out most people are in the wrong plan. That is, they're in a plan that's not going to provide them with the lowest annual cost. So statistics are quite surprising, actually. 86% of people who are in a Medicare Advantage plan and 94% of people who are in a prescription drug plan are in a higher cost plan than they need to be. So it's very important to check to see that your drugs are covered and that your doctor's in network and so forth each year, because not only are a lot of folks in the wrong plan to start with, but each year the plans do change the formulary. That's the list of drugs that they cover, and they do change their network of doctors that they'll work with. So it's critically important In addition to premium changes and lots of other changes that can happen with the plans, if you're in a plan, you'll get your annual notice of change here sometime towards the end of the month, and it's important to read the fine print there. But it's also important to take that 5 minutes to go to our website, eHealthMedicare.com, to compare your plan, your current plan, with all the other plans that are out there and look at the costs that are involved with each plan. And if you don't care to do that yourself, you can always just call the 800 number on our site, and an agent will help you through the process over the phone.
And I think the important thing is it's not good to do nothing, because then you're automatically just re-enrolled in your plan and you haven't looked at your options at all. Now, do you think a lot of people don't look at all, and that some of the people that do wait till the very last minute to look at their plan and start comparing it? And why do you think those two things happen?
Well, I think, I think we're all procrastinators at heart. And I think that people see the whole process of comparing plans and so forth as complicated. And it is complicated. Medicare has lots of different moving parts that we won't get into this morning. But it's important to talk to an expert, to have them do a review for you once a year and to just get through it. And it's really not that tough. It can be done in, as I say, 10 to 15 minutes over the phone. So don't put it off. Get to it early. And it is the case that the users on our site, only about 22% of them actually take the time to enter the drugs that they're taking to make sure that they're covered. And there's some real costs here. The average user that does take the time to put in their drugs and their current plan finds savings of about $650 a year, which is
incredible.
Real money.
So it certainly does pay to do the research and get the same drugs at a lower price with another plan.
Absolutely.
Now, when it comes to premiums for Medicare's Part B, which covers doctor services and outpatient services, everybody, I'm sure, wants to know if the premiums are going to go up. Are they going to go up this year?
The Part B premiums are not likely to go up in any significant way this year, so that's really not the worry. The thing that I think people need to be concerned about is if they're, and what we're hearing, and it's very preliminary from the companies that have released the information so far, but if you're in a Medicare Advantage plan that's a PPO, I would expect to see some fairly significant premium increases. If you're in an HMO, your premium will probably stay fixed. Many of them have zero premium, which is terrific, but you may see copay or coinsurance increases. So it's important to read the fine print in that annual notice of change letter that you're going to get here in the next week or two.
Now, seniors who have private Medicare Advantage plans, are they going to be affected by the Health Care Reform Act? I mean, are insurers going to kind of shrink the size of what goes into their provider networks?
Well, I think you will see some of that. There's really good news and bad news for those in Medicare Advantage plans and for Medicare supplement plans. But those that are in either a drug plan or a Medicare Advantage plan are seeing the donut hole shrink. So we're seeing more generic drugs on the scene. Annual drug costs are dropping, and of course the donut hole is shrinking thanks to the Affordable Care Act. So the good news is that fewer people are actually hitting the donut hole. Only 9% of beneficiaries will hit the donut hole this year compared to 33% last year. So that's a big, big difference. So we're having less people fall into that expensive donut hole. But, the bad news is people aren't doing the comparisons that they need to do and getting the most out of the benefit that they can. So I think that the other big thing for the Affordable Care Act, of course, was that it provided for free wellness visits and so forth, and a lot of seniors aren't taking advantage of that, and it's so critically important to go and see your doctor and get that absolutely free wellness visit every year to keep yourself healthy.
Absolutely, and there are some other cancer screenings that are now available to seniors, and I think they're absolutely necessary. Now,
absolutely. We can't stress that enough. Colorectal screenings, mammograms, lots of these screening tests are cost-free as well. But start with that annual wellness visit and then follow the directions of your doctor. But too few people are taking advantage of that, Carol.
Now, what are some of the other questions that people are asking, people that answer the telephones at eHealth Medicare that I haven't gotten to that are important?
Well, I think people need to always be concerned about their doctor, and whether or not some people are willing to switch doctors to save some money during the course of a year, and some people are not. So it's really important to, if you're going to switch plans or sign up for a plan, to take that into account. So make sure if you want to stay with your primary care physician that you choose a plan that he will accept, he or she will accept. I think that's critically important. And of course, everyone's always looking for ways to save money on drugs. In addition to finding a plan that covers your drugs, the other thing to look for are these brand to generic switches that are taking place. There are two blockbuster drugs that are going generic here in 2014, Nexium and Celebrex. So if you take one of those two drugs, make sure you consult with your pharmacist to get the generic version and your doctor and get the generic version as appropriate just as quickly as you can. And then I think the other thing is, you know, people are going to be confused when they hear a lot of noise this year about the Affordable Care Act. Most of what you're going to hear about large premium spikes and so forth is going to have to do with people not on the Medicare system. But it's always good to do your homework and read the fine print in that. And you'll notice a change to make sure that you're not going to be adversely affected this year.
Now, Ross, looking into your crystal ball, what does the future hold for Medicare and people's retirement? Do you ever see Medicare ending?
You know, I don't. I just see more of the same. I think it would be not a big surprise 5 years from now to see folks under 65 on a single-payer system, much like the Medicare system. So I think Medicare over the long term is a system that works for seniors. I think it works for you know, our society in general, and I think it's a large population, many, many baby boomers, as you know, aging in each year now. It's a large population that's important politically for the government. I think that we're going to continue to take good care of our seniors with the Medicare system, and it's just a question of navigating the complexity of the system for an individual senior to find that set of benefits and plans that meets their specific needs. It's the critical piece. So I wish it was less complex, but for those that take the time to weave their way through it, I think it's a great program and is really helping a lot of seniors out there.
That's Ross Blair in conversation with Carol Marks. He's the Senior Vice President of eHealthMedicare.com. And if you'd like more information, go to eHealthMedicare.com. That's eHealthMedicare.com. We'll be joined by Talkers Magazine's Kevin Casey, and then Steve Wiseman will be with us when A Touch of Gray, the talk show for grown-ups, continues in just a moment.
You want a piece of me?
You want a piece of me?
You want a piece of me?
They're not movie tough guys, just ordinary people doing something extraordinary. They're all signed up on matchingdonors.com, willing to donate their kidney to anyone who needs it. In the U.S., 19 people die each day waiting for an organ transplant, most of them for kidneys. Matchingdonors.com improves those odds by finding living altruistic donors for patients desperately needing transplants. Go to matchingdonors.com and meet some extraordinary people. That's matchingdonors.com.
Want to stay informed when there are changes to Social Security? Subscribe to receive automatic email updates on popular Social Security webpages with the click of a button. Just visit www.socialsecurity.gov/govdelivery. More than 1 million people already receive updates to the pages they're most interested in. You can too. Look for the red envelope followed by a link that says Get Email Updates. To learn more, visit www.socialsecurity.gov/govdelivery. Social Security delivers.
This is a Driving Today Minute. Even though high gasoline prices have moderated somewhat, they're still quite high. It just makes good sense to do what you can do to reduce your fuel costs. The Alliance to Save Energy suggests a few easy things you can do.
Keep your car properly tuned up and change the air filter regularly, both to save gas and protect your engine. Curtail aggressive driving, according to the U.S. Department of Energy. Speeding, rapid acceleration, and hard braking waste gas and curb mileage by as much as 33% at highway speeds.
So nix the jackrabbit starts and opt instead for slow acceleration from a dead stop. Slow down. The DOE says each mile per hour you drive over 60 is like paying an extra 10 cents per gallon. inflate tires to the proper pressure. This will increase fuel economy and make tires safer and extend their life.
This Driving Today Minute is brought to you by Bridgestone Firestone Tires. You can get more information like this at drivingtoday.com or by visiting our partners such as autobytel.com, motorsportsforum.com, and more.
You're listening to A Touch of Gray. Check out our website at atouchofgray.com. We spell gray with an E. That's atouchofgray.com. We spell gray with an E.
Hi, I'm Sigourney Weaver. If you're like me, your dog or cat is part of the family, and they rely on you to take care of them. Like a family doctor, your veterinarian and staff know what's best for that special family member. So visit your vet regularly for checkups, for prevention of disease like heartworm, and for the best advice on everyday issues like flea and tick control. Your veterinarian knows best, so take the time to ask questions. For healthy pets, visit the vet.
A message from the American Animal Hospital Association.
You're age 65 and you've made your decision to keep working and delay receiving your benefits. That's fine, but don't forget about Medicare. Most people should apply for Medicare coverage within 4 months of reaching age 65. And there's a fast, convenient, and simple way to apply for Medicare in as little as 10 minutes. Online at www.socialsecurity.gov/Medicare only. That's socialsecurity.gov/Medicare only.
Engine.
Check.
Thrusters.
Check.
Fuel.
Check.
Computers.
Check.
Social Security.
No check, go direct.
That's right, Patty. A few weeks ago, I went online to godirect.org to sign up for direct deposit. It's easy to do. And I got my cash at warp speed.
Wow, it's fast and easy. I'll sign up right now to make sure I'm prepared for our next mission.
Carol Marks is one of America's leading experts on upper demographic issues and a champion in the battle against ageism in our society. Her fabulous new book, Modern Aging, A Guide for Seasoned Citizens to Achieve Health, Happiness, and Purpose, published by Talkers Books, is a major breakthrough in providing a maturing population with vital information and inspiration to live better and more productive lives. Carol Marks offers practical strategies for juggling work, romance, and navigating the healthcare system. She is a guide through the maze of grandparenting, technology, travel, and retirement, as well as facing the sandwich generation's struggle of supporting adult children and elderly parents. Modern Aging by Carol Marks is available now at www.talkersbooks.com. That's www.talkersbooks.com.
If you plan to apply for Social Security disability benefits, there are things you can do to help speed up the usual 3 to 5 month wait for a decision. The more information you provide up front, the less time it'll take us to obtain the needed evidence, and the faster the decision can be made. Information like medical records or documentation, the names, addresses, and phone numbers of your doctors and medical facilities, information on your past employment, and more. To be prepared, visit www.socialsecurity.gov/disability and select Disability Starter Kits.
Continuing now with A Touch of Gray, the talk show for grown-ups, I'm Michael Harrison in the anchor chair. We come to that point in the program where we're visited by our senior correspondent, Kevin Casey, who's also the vice president and executive editor of the trade magazine Talkers, which serves as a trade publication, the talk radio industry. And we get a little peek behind the scenes, and we're going to do that today. Kevin, my impression of what's being talked about on talk radio these past 6 months, culminating now with lots of debate over Obamacare and outrage recently from all sides about government spying, the NSA, I get the impression that in news talk radio, the battle lines drawn between the left and the right have changed a bit. Could you explain?
Well, yes, they have to a certain degree, but what we're seeing, interestingly, is within the conservative and the liberal movements, we're seeing a lot of infighting. We're seeing amongst these Republicans a large degree of fighting over how to approach criticism of Obamacare and the Obama administration. And on the right, or excuse me, on the left, we're seeing those who are being urged to support the president, yet not wanting to appear silly by not criticizing emphasizing what is clearly, at least initially, not a smooth start to the Affordable Care Act.
Yeah, I mean, this is causing a lot of interesting civil wars, so to speak, between each side, in addition to also creating politics making strange bedfellows. The left and the right joined forces in many cases in outrage over government spying and the NSA scandal.
Yep.
And in many cases, you have left and right agreeing about the problems of the Affordable Health Care Act, otherwise known as Obamacare.
Very true. And obviously, I think that, you know, our listeners are probably aware that we're not going to see at any time, you know, large numbers of Democrats or liberals jumping up and saying, well, that's it, you know, get rid of Obama. But at the same time, there's the criticism is something that was a bit, I would say, would have been a bit unexpected about, you know, 6 to 8 months ago.
And some of them are just angry at Obama for creating reason for the general middle ground that swings elections to be skeptical of Democrats in 2016.
That's the greater point, obviously, which is, you know, you're setting the table for not such a great showing in the midterms next year, and then even beyond for, you know, who's going to succeed him in 2016.
I mean, right now it appears that Hillary Clinton and Chris Christie look like the two Super Bowl teams that we're going to see in the Super Bowl of the presidential election in 2016.
It sure seems that way, but it's funny that the way these things generally work out is whoever looks like they're going to be the front runners 3-4 years out end up not being the two final candidates. Isn't that the way it almost always seems to work out?
And Hillary has someone that's kind of extreme to her left. Extreme, I put in quotes. It depends on who you are.
Sure.
And Elizabeth Warren, the new senator from Massachusetts. And, of course, Christie's got that fellow Ted Cruz, who's sort of the mirror image in the other direction. Interesting stuff. Kevin, thank you very much for joining us. Kevin Casey's a regular feature here on our program. He is a senior correspondent. If you want to know more about talk radio, go to talkers.com. I'm Michael Harrison. A Touch of Gray continues in a moment.
You want a piece of me?
You want a piece of me?
You want a piece of me?
They're not movie tough guys, just ordinary people doing something extraordinary. They're all signed up on matchingdonors.com, willing to donate their kidney to anyone who needs it. In the U.S., 19 people die each day waiting for an organ transplant, most of them for kidneys. Matchingdonors.com improves those odds by finding living, altruistic donors for patients desperately needing transplants. Go to matchingdonors.com and meet some extraordinary people. That's matchingdonors.com.
Want to stay informed when there are changes to Social Security? Subscribe to receive automatic email updates on popular Social Security web pages with the click of a button. Just visit www.socialsecurity.gov/govdelivery. More than 1 million people already receive updates to the pages they're most interested in. You can too. Look for the red envelope followed by a link that says Get Email Updates. To learn more, visit www.socialsecurity.gov/govdelivery. Social Security delivers.
Hi, this is Morgan Freeman. Has anyone ever said, you are the picture of health? You look healthy, you feel fine, but that may not be the full picture. Colorectal cancer is the second leading cancer killer of men and women over 50. Since it doesn't always cause symptoms, you may not know you have it. The only way to know is by getting screened. Screening can find precancerous polyps, so they can be removed before they turn into cancer. This is one cancer you can prevent. Plus, screening can find colorectal cancer at an early stage when the chance for a full recovery is very high. Talk with your doctor and get tested for colorectal cancer. Medicare and many insurance plans help pay for screening. Get screened. Make sure you are the picture of health.
A message from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention.
Hi, I'm Sigourney Weaver. If you're like me, your dog or cat is part of the family, and they rely on you to take care of them. Like a family doctor, your veterinarian and staff know what's best for that special family member. So visit your vet regularly for checkups, for prevention of disease like heartworm, and for the best advice on everyday issues like flea and tick control. Your veterinarian knows best. So take the time to ask questions. For healthy pets, visit the vet.
A message from the American Animal Hospital Association.
You're age 65 and you've made your decision to keep working and delay receiving your benefits. That's fine, but don't forget about Medicare. Most people should apply for Medicare coverage within 4 months of reaching age 65. And there's a fast, convenient, and simple way to apply for Medicare in as little as 10 minutes. Online at www.socialsecurity.gov/MedicareOnly. That's socialsecurity.gov/MedicareOnly.
Continuing now with A Touch of Gray, the talk show for grown-ups, I'm Michael Harrison in the anchor chair, and we're going to be joined the rest of the way by our senior correspondent, Steve Wiseman, in conversation now with Dr. Wayne Scott Anderson, one of the nation's foremost physicians in nutritional intervention. And he's going to talk to Steve about his new book titled Discover Your Optimal Health, Master Dr. A's Daily Habits of Health, Mindset to Live Better, Happier, and Healthier into Your 80s, 90s, and Beyond, published by DiCapo Lifelong Books.
You know, Dr. Anderson, that sounds like a pretty tall order. Can we do this without drastically changing our lifestyles?
Absolutely, Steve. In fact, you know, the cool thing about it is once you have a plan and you have the proper support and tools, it's very, very possible. In fact, I've helped over 500,000 people in the last decade do exactly that. But it's not about one thing. It's not about dieting. It's about really understanding fundamentally what needs to change.
And, you know, that's one of the things I liked about your book. Very, very readable, very, very user-friendly. And they were all things I'm talking to myself going, I can do that. I can do that. This is going to be good. And you get excited about it, don't you?
Yeah, Ed, that's absolutely true. You know, the whole thing about, you know, that there's going to be blue-green algae from the bottom of a volcano that can miraculously get you healthy is we all know that not to be true. We may make stupid decisions and look for those, you know, those quick fixes. But the reality is, you know, that 95% of us, our choices, how we eat, how we sleep, how we move, how we handle stress, are all choices that could, just by tweaking them a little bit, can cumulatively come together and help create long-term optimal health. And, you know, that's really what we want. It's not about weight loss. You know, we're, as Americans, we're problem solvers. We're always looking to solve a problem. But when you solve a problem, you don't create anything. So what we've done is really start focusing on people making the choice that health is a priority. So what I ask people is, if you could live a longer, healthier life, would that be important to you? And the answer is resoundingly yes.
Yeah. And, you know, the interesting thing is people say, oh, I don't have the time. And then you end up feeling better, working more efficiently, enjoying your life more, and somehow even having more time.
A lot more time. In fact, you know, I always talk about if you can overcome the logistical and psychological barriers of living in modern America, you can create long-term health. And it's about doing the little things that, you know, they don't, it's not like, you know, whether you have a cheeseburger for lunch today or you have a salad. It makes no detectable difference today. But over time, just making those shifts make all the difference in the world.
What are some of the worst diet and nutritional mistakes that people do make, and what's the first step to correcting them?
Well, the first thing is thinking, you know, and it's interesting. When I'm a critical care physician by trade, and I did that for 20 years, and I spent a lot of time working with nutritional intervention on critically ill patients. And so that's kind of where I realized that the body has the inherent capacity to heal itself. Even in those very sick people, when we focused on their nutrition, the body healed itself. So the first thing is, and the one that people make when I first looked at this about over a decade ago, that people forget to do is they forget to eat breakfast, or they don't eat breakfast intentionally, thinking that if they don't eat breakfast, they're saving all those calories they can eat later on in the day. And every study over the last 15 years, including the National Weight Control Registry, shows that eating breakfast is critical. You know, our mom was right. You got to eat breakfast. You just want to eat a healthy breakfast. So it starts by not excluding, but actually eating breakfast. The second thing is eating smaller meals throughout the day. You know, I teach people to eat every 3 hours. And what it does is it actually fuels the body in a much more systematic way, the way it was designed 10,000 years ago. We were hunters and gatherers. We worked all day long. And just like if you look outside, you know, in the fall and the winter, and you look at the birds out running around, eating, you know, looking for food, that's how we survived. We didn't have refrigerators. You know, you didn't have any insurance that you were going to get to eat. So we evolved 40 billion fat cells. So when we did find that berry bush full of nice fructose, we would, you know, consume the whole thing and store that food. But unfortunately today, our innate design, our biological design to both conserve and store energy are working directly against us. Because now, unlike in 10,000 years ago when your food was energy sparse and nutrient dense, now it's the opposite. It's full of a lot of calories and very little nutrition. And the other thing is we have so many conveniences and machines that help take care of us not hardly moving our body at all.
Well, let me get into that. We know we should exercise, but what kind of exercise should we be doing, and how much of it do we need to do?
Well, there's three parts to that question. The first is moving some at all, right? You know, there's a very small group of the population that are exercise enthusiasts, and those are the people, you know, see dressed in the running clothes or on their, you know, with their on their bikes on the weekends. But for most people, let's just face it, most people don't like to exercise. So exercise is something that I kind of divide into two parts. Exercise I define as being time when you're actually specifically taking part of your day and you're using it to improve your cardiovascular and your musculoskeletal strength. But bottom line is, think about it this way, that if you, 3 days a week, if someone goes to the gym, but the other times they're sitting in their office all day long, there's 165 hours, you know, 168 hours in a week, 165 of them, which, you know, they're either sleeping or not doing anything. So I start first by very small steps. And like you said earlier, the whole idea is to make this something that as we move forward and adapt these new habits of health, that we're going to be doing these for the rest of our lives. So where I start is at work and leisure, is just saying no to machines, you know. Simply as you can get another 200 calories of energy expenditure a day simply by using the stairs at work. I have this, what I call the five S's that I talk about in my longer book, Dr. A's Habits of Health, where we really get into that and we talk about, you know, standing at your desk, you know, getting a headset, don't sit at your desk all day, making sure you're using the lavatory at the far end of the building rather than one right by your office, making sure at lunchtime you're walking down the stairs and if it's nice, eating outside. If not, find a place where you can go, and then making sure that you're moving. So that's the first part, and that's called non-exercise activity thermogenesis, and you can get 200-300 calories from that. And then the second part is we add a walking program, and this is now, once a person's feeling better, has more energy in stepwise fashion, we add a walking program, and then eventually a weight resistance program that you can do in 30 minutes, 3 days a week, along with the other days doing some other activity like walking 30 minutes. And so what I like to do is equip people for the rest of their life, that they, something they can adapt now, wherever they are in their life, so for the rest of their life they can spend that 30 minutes a day, which everybody needs to find 30 minutes to take care of themselves every day.
And we can do it.
Absolutely. You know, and nothing in there, you know, I have 90-year-olds that are doing the same activities that we teach 30-year-olds to do. You know, and you can certainly go beyond that if you want. But what we're about is maintaining you, not like this thing where, you know, after the holidays, a button flies off and almost kills somebody and you decide to do something in January. This is about everyday small incremental changes that allow you to move forward and create long-term health.
We talked about every day. What about the nights? And it does seem that I talk to so many people who have difficulty sleeping, or sometimes they're almost bragging about how little sleep they get. Neither of those things are particularly good, are they?
Well, absolutely. In fact, it's very interesting, but they're very interrelated too, Steve. If you look at sleep, first of all, sleep is critical for health. Without, you know, an adult needs 7 to 8 hours of sleep, somewhere between there. Less than 6.5 or less, or more than 9 have been shown to relate directly to the progression of disease. So sleep is not a luxury. Sleep is something we need. And, you know, we're the most caffeinated society in the world, and we think that we can, you know, get by with little sleep, and it just isn't so. The other part about it is 70% of us are overweight or obese, and there's a direct correlate between not sleeping well and being overweight or obese. And so when I attack that, the triad of how you move, how you eat, and how you sleep are all intermingled with each other, and I really focus with both our patients and our clients starting right there, because, you know, the whole thing about sleep is our electronic world, including everything from the change, you know, it used to be, I'll go back to our design, 10,000 years ago, the sun went down, you hung
and
around
so
the campfire for half an hour, you listened to boring stories, and then you went to sleep, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, now you stay up indefinitely. In fact, even, you know, I mean, I've got a whole section in the Habits of Health and in the new book on this, but the whole thing is, even when we turn off our lights at the end of the night, we in our room, we have all these LEDs, we have these clocks, and we have these things that glow red and glow blue, and all of those things are emitting light, which interferes with our sleep, as well as, you know, we're sitting there with TVs in our bedroom. And the other thing is caffeine has a half-life of 6 hours. So that means in the afternoon, if you're grabbing that cup of coffee to get through the end of the day, at 11 o'clock at night, you still have about 150 milligrams of caffeine running around in your brain. And no wonder you can't shut down.
That's Dr. Wayne Scott Anderson. In conversation with our senior correspondent, Steve Wiseman, his book is titled Discover Your Optimal Health, Master Dr. A's Daily Habits of Health Mindset to Live Better, Happier, and Healthier into Your 80s, 90s, and Beyond. It's published by DeCapo Lifelong Books. Steve Wiseman returns with some information about medical identity theft, something you need to know. That's next. On A Touch of Gray, the talk show for grown-ups continues in just a moment.
You're age 65 and you've made your decision to keep working and delay receiving your benefits. That's fine, but don't forget about Medicare. Most people should apply for Medicare coverage within 4 months of reaching age 65. And there's a fast, convenient, and simple way to apply for Medicare in as little as 10 minutes. Online at www.socialsecurity.gov/Medicare-only. That's socialsecurity.gov/Medicare-only.
Carol Marks is one of America's leading experts on upper demographic issues and a champion in the battle against ageism in our society. Her fabulous new book, Modern Aging, A Guide for Seasoned Citizens to Achieve Health, Happiness, and Purpose, published by Talkers Books, is a major breakthrough in providing a maturing population with vital information and inspiration to live better and more productive lives. Carol Marks offers practical strategies for juggling work, romance, and navigating the healthcare system. She is a guide through the maze of grandparenting, technology, travel, and retirement, as well as facing the sandwich generation struggle of supporting adult children and elderly parents. Modern Aging by Carol Marks is available now at www.talkersbooks.com. That's www.talkersbooks.com.
She's conquered some of the most challenging ski courses anywhere, but with only one leg, the odds were against her even walking.
The growth was stunted in my right leg when I was born, and the doctors told my mother we needed to amputate when I was 5 years old.
Bonnie was helped at a Shriners Hospital, one of a network of 22 hospitals helping kids throughout North America. Shriners Hospitals provide world-class orthopedic and burn medical care, and they offer that care totally free of charge.
The care and treatment the Shriners gave me was a gift. It wasn't just about learning to walk. They helped me to believe in myself.
There's a Shriners Hospital helping kids from this area realize their dreams.
If I went back to the Shriners Hospital and talked to the nurses and doctors, I would say thank you. Thank you for making my dreams come true.
If you know a child they could help, call 1-800-237-5055. Shriners, giving help and hope to kids for over 80 years.
Engine.
Check.
Thrusters.
Check.
Fuel.
Check.
Computers.
Check.
Social Security.
No check, go direct.
That's right, Patty. A few weeks ago, I went online to GoDirect.org to sign up for direct deposit. It's easy to do, and I got my cash at warp speed.
Wow, it's fast and easy. I'll sign up right now to make sure I'm prepared for our next mission.
Continuing now with A Touch of Gray, the talk show for grown-ups, I'm Michael Harrison in the anchor chair. We come to the final segment of this hour of our broadcast, and we're joined again by our senior correspondent, Steve Wiseman, Stephen J.J. Wiseman, Esquire. He's an attorney, he's an author, and he's an expert on so many subjects, including fraud and scams. As a matter of fact, he has a website that you should visit if you're concerned about scams. It's called Scamicide.com. He's written the book, The Truth About Avoiding Scams, published by Prentice Hall. And here now, he will tell us about medical identity theft. Steve?
Thank you, Michael. You know, there's been so much talk about what's been going wrong with the Affordable Care Act, both in the law itself, but particularly on the website. You really should remember that things aren't as bad as you think. they're far worse. And it really isn't the fact of what's going on with the Affordable Care Act, but it's really medical identity theft. Medical identity theft is the, I guess it's the ugly stepsister of identity theft. People don't talk about it much. But actually, millions of people every year are affected by medical identity theft, and it's gone up about 19% just in the last year to about 2 million people. The cost is about $12.3 billion. And what happens with medical identity theft is it actually puts your life at risk. Because how it works is your medical information, particularly your medical records and medical insurance, become accessed by an identity thief. Now, that identity thief, often it's within a medical office that you've been working with, and it's an inside job, and they sell your information. But other times, it's our own carelessness that we let family or friends have access to our Medicare cards, our insurance cards, or other medical identification. And the problem is, when someone steals your identity as far as your medical situation goes, your medical records get corrupted. And so within your medical records become the information from the person who has stolen your identity. So what happens is you could get a wrong prescription. You could get a wrong blood transfusion. You certainly can get wrong treatment that could put your life in jeopardy. Problem is, a lot of people don't even notice when they are a victim of identity theft. Often it's because you get that review of explanation of benefits, the EOB form, saying what your insurance is paying for. A lot of people don't pay attention to it because, frankly, they know they're not paying anything on there. But that is one of the first places to look for to see if there is any identity theft accessing your records. Problems are myriad if you do become a victim, because one of the problems is that you can't get their false information off your record. All you can do is just get a notation that there is some false information on your record. Why? This is part of the medical privacy laws. Bottom line is, it is preventable if you can keep your records protected. But if you don't, if you become a victim, it can take as long as a year to try and correct this. So this is one of these things people need to pay a lot of attention to. Check out my blog, scamicide.com, for more information.
Thank you, Stephen J.J. Wiseman. Steve Wiseman talking about medical identity theft. Steve Wiseman, our senior correspondent and a regular part of our program. And thank you, Beverly Santinello, on the front line, our producer, putting it all together. Carol Marks, the host and founder of the program. Kevin Casey, and the entire Touch of Gray broadcast team. On behalf of all of us, I'm Michael Harrison in the anchor chair, inviting you to join us next weekend right here for another installment of A Touch of Gray, the talk show for grown-ups.